Life is weird. People are weirder.
And we're just trying to make it through without ending up in straitjackets. Because how would we drink our wine?
I'm Pascal LaForest.
And I'm Celine Castrovilla. We're cousins, besties, and the voices behind Life in Jest, a podcast that tackles the strange, the dark, and the ridiculous.
With a healthy dose of sarcasm and whatever humor we can wring from the madness.
From true crime to pop culture to stories too bizarre to be fiction,
we're unpacking it all, one sip of wine at a time.
Follow Life in Jest wherever you get your podcasts.
Because honestly, we don't know what's coming out of our mouths next either.
Welcome, fellow Leshes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
Let's open the tavern.
Let's open the tavern and tell the world what we're drinking. Guess who's got sponsors? Legitimate, delicious beer sponsors. Our good friends down there. Beaver Dam, Ooga Brewing.
Look at those cans. Those are delicious cans.
I'm drinking your Hefeweizen. I think it's called Weirdo in the Window, which is perfect for me. I feel like a weirdo in the window. But I don't know if he was telling me the truth or not, but some guy was sitting in the bar and he looked like the picture on the, and he said, no, I'm the weirdo in the window. And he looked just like the, I mean, it was an anime, like a cartoon picture, but yeah, it looked like the guy. So I don't know if he was telling me the truth or not. He may have been the weirdo in the window.
I think it's 100% true.
So we're going to have to ask the next time we're there.
Which we'll go back. We're definitely going back.
So thank you.
Look at that. Look, oh, I'm not giving a drink out of your glass because I'm sick.
Well, I got you sick. I don't think I can get it back. But
big it's ups. Your fault, motherfucker.
All right. Big ups. Big shout out. Ooga Brewing. Thank you so much.
My first time going.
Yeah, I've been there 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. So good he brought me back.
Yeah. Well, I love the place. I love the beer. People are great. So we're excited to get a chance to feature their beer.
Yeah, check them out in Beaver Dam. It's a cool spot. Cool little city. You know, they got music on Sunday, I believe it was.
Yeah. Well, I think this is coming Saturday, which is a long time ago, but never mind.
They have, look, check it out on the website. They do have music.
They have a nice outdoor space. They have music during the summer.
Summer.
I think they have a nice indoor space, but I've never sat in the indoor space. So I've never been there.
Summer.
Yeah, I've only been there in the summer. So we popped in on our way to Madison. We can't get into the whole fucking story. We're actually on our way to Janesville.
Right.
To go see our friend Josh Potter.
What do you think of that old Hefeweizen? You are the Hefeweizen pro. You know what you like. You know what you like.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to say. This is why I got it in the growler when they asked me which ones I want. I'd already had it. I've had it. It's delicious. It's a very good Hefeweizen. So and it's nice to go to a place that makes a Hefeweizen.
And makes it right.
Thank you. It's nice to go to a place that only has two IPAs on the menu. Thank you. Because when I go out in fucking any big city on earth, it's 16 IPAs and one lager. What do you want?
Pages and pages of IPAs. Well, it's coming down. I think it's losing its flair. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's because people are realizing it doesn't taste good. I'm sorry, but that bitter shit. If your IBU is over like 40. It's not good.
Yeah, well, it's not. Well, we haven't tried them, but I would imagine Leah's tried their IPAs or not yet.
She likes their IPAs.
And she like,
yeah, if you like IPAs, yeah.
They're good?
Yes. If you like IPAs, they make a good IPAs. I don't like IPAs. I'm not ribbing on them. I'm ribbing on IPAs.
I understand that.
So they probably make.
You would think as bitter as you are right now about IPAs, you like the bitterness of IPAs.
Wouldn't you? I think it's because I can't fit any more bitterness into here. And fit it's just off full of bitter. So I don't want it on my tongue too.
All right, well, bitter boy.
Yeah.
And get you bitter about your birthday coming up too?
That passed us a long time ago.
Well, it doesn't matter. We're gonna celebrate tonight.
Don't even worry about it. We don't even need to bother with it. That's long gone. I'm so old. We don't have time to open a present. Stephen Kellogg is gonna be here any minute. Okay, I'll do it.
Well, yeah. look at how excited it is. Birthday, you bitter douche canoe.
We don't have time.
Yeah, we do. We got plenty of time.
I don't want to be. This is one of a highlight guests. Not that they're not all highlights. This is a highlight guest
for
me.
I'm so excited to have this.
Stephen Kellogg on the podcast. Saw him at Mile of Music. Very good.
Just paper.
Oh, looks like we getting We getting fucked up tonight. That's fantastic. Yeah, there's the carb. All right.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
going to unwrap all that.
No, no, you don't have to.
I got to make sure I got all the pieces and parts out of there. That looks like all the pieces and parts. Holy man. Look at that thing. Art the Clown. What is this again? I don't know what these are.
It's just art.
Art, okay.
It's art on art.
It's art on art. Yeah, I don't know what you use this for. What do you...
Decoration.
What do you do with this?
You just set it out for decoration. No, come on. No.
They make them out of glass now,
obviously,
right?
You can use it for whatever you want, but...
Well, thank you, good sir.
That is custom made.
That's custom made by who?
Our good friends.
We have good friends who custom make that? I don't know what that is.
Absolutely, we do.
You should have been prepared for this. If they're such good friends, I wasn't
excited about that. Damn it!
You want me to edit this part out?
Well, it's just Crescent Moons magical art.
Crescent Moons
mass shop. Crescent Moons moods.
Crescent
on
moods.
Instagram. Find them on Instagram. Shop Crescent Moods for custom horror things, and each one's a little different.
Speaking of custom horror things, you know what it feels like we've become on this episode? Custom horrors. Look at us just pimping everything. It feels like we went to school to learn how to...
Just to pimp it out.
Learn how to get sponsors this week or something. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of this on this podcast you haven't seen before.
We're just opening the floodgates.
Thanks, Crescent Moon. Did you get a discount because you told me you were going to feature it on the podcast?
I did not.
Oh, I would have.
I didn't go that far. But we could shout them out because it is beautiful work. Go check out their work.
We will be doing a little video of that and shouting them out. That is fucking fantastic, and I can't wait to do whatever.
I don't know what you do with it either.
I don't either.
I just thought the detail.
Did they send instructions for how to use it?
Yeah. I said contact them after. They'll walk you through it.
All right.
They'll do a FaceTime just to walk you through how to work it.
That's fucking amazing. There's so many cool details on that thing.
Yeah.
He's carrying a hacksaw. Now, look, David Howard Thornton.
David.
You follow our podcast. You're definitely getting tagged in this. If you don't understand what kind of fan this makes me in particular. I mean, we're both big fans, but
obviously
this makes you should probably come on the podcast just so we can talk about it.
We can talk about it. You don't even know it's out there.
What do you think, David? I'll be in your messages. Take a look.
There you go.
Thank you, good sir. I appreciate it. I can't wait to partake.
And
I have the necessary.
I don't want shit. You're not trying to collect stuff. So I thought, what would you use and can admire at the same time?
Right. I will use that. I will admire that. And I even have what I need to.
You might not even throw it away when you move.
Oh, no. That'll look nice.
That one you'll keep.
That'll look nice on a shelf in Belize. It'll be nice when I'm actually able to put this out and about. You know? Because some of that, we still have some of the stuff we got from Hemper. And I love some of that shit. It'll be nice when I can
display that. So as we go, you can check out not only where to get some artwork on Instagram. You can check us out on Instagram too. You can check us out on Facebook, on X. You can go to YouTube and give a little subscribe to us, please. Any of the platforms, leave a comment. We love them. We love responding. And all Spotify, Apple Music, you can go there too and just listen while you're driving on a nice country road on a Sunday afternoon.
We sound beautiful.
We are beautiful. We look beautiful and we sound beautiful. We better not keep a handsome man waiting.
All right. So without further ado, musician Stephen Kellogg.
Yeah.
So we're joined by Stephen Kellogg, musician and now brand new stand-up comedian. Your stand-up special is freshly out. I think you have a watch party tonight, don't you?
We do.
Nice.
It's going on.
So, yeah.
I had the pleasure of watching it last night. Very funny.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I'm imagining the title worked by saying maybe this will work is the title of your special. Was that the title from the get-go?
Yeah, it was a title that I had kicking around for a while and I wasn't sure what I was going to use it for. And I was talking to Mark from OAR one day and I just said maybe this will work about something I was trying. And he's like, that's a good title. But then I wrote it down in my journal and I had it kicking around. And when we were trying to name the special, I was like, man, if there's ever been a maybe this week, Hail Mary pass at starting comedy at almost 49 years old. But no, you know.
Well, you are a brilliant storyteller. And I noticed that. I saw you at, we're in Appleton. So we saw you at Mile of Music. Mm-hmm. And obviously you have the storytelling and you did a little bit of it at Mile of Music. So it transitions well to the comedic stage.
Well, you know, the thing of it is I love writing songs. I'm always going to do that. But I don't want to make funny music. And some of the stories, you know, they feel like you're not going to put them in a song.
Yeah.
And yet it seems a shame to just tell them to a handful of people at a few shows. Like, why not? You know, I wanted an outlet for that. And this has really been, you know, more than like, ha ha, aren't I so funny? It's just a chance to share some of these stories that don't necessarily fit in the music side of what I do.
Sure. And
it's such a relief to finally have done a collection of them, you know?
We always hear that rock stars long to be comedians, right? And comedians long to be rock stars. So you kind of just crossed the bridge.
Yeah, well, I know. I'm sort of I appreciate both titles, and I'm not sure I fully deserve either of them, but but let's go with it for the purpose of tonight.
Yeah, you got to go with it sometimes, don't you?
I was gonna say, you definitely deserve a musician with 18 albums deep and a brand new one. When did To You Old Friend come out? That was just in the last month or so?
Yeah, May 22nd. So beginning of the summer. It's weird because nowadays a record cycle, everything just, it feels like, all right, cool, I listened to it. When are you putting a new one out? And you're like, yeah. this was a bit of effort, you know?
Right.
Can we save? There's not a lot of savoring going on in 2025.
Right. Yeah. We talked to so many musicians who are putting albums out one single at a time, right? Like, just once a month, they're putting out a single. And then after six or so, seven songs, then they're putting out the whole album.
Yeah. Yeah. And we did that to some degree. I guess the thing that I realized I don't want to do is put out, I don't mind releasing an album piece by piece, but I don't want to make singles. I don't care if that's what people are, you know, I for a minute we were like, we'd work on a song and then we'd release it. And I was like, this is insane. You know, like, it just doesn't feel like anybody really, it hits anybody's radar. And I don't want to become Grumpy Gus, you know, at my old age here, but I'm like, I didn't sign up for this, and I don't want to do it. So I think I just won't. And maybe, you know, peril. But there's parts of what's going on in art right now that I just want nothing to do with, you know?
Absolutely.
Right. Well, you're 25 years. You've seen a lot of changes. I mean, back to your first album. The difference, how did you adapt so much?
Well,
you just didn't.
No, I think I've been lost at times trying to figure out where I fit in, you know, especially in the beginning. I wasn't sure how I fit in because I was probably more wired for 1974 when,
right,
you know, Jim Croce and Dan Fogelberg were like legit rock and roll stars.
Right.
I'm like, that was an era where I might have, you know, fit in. And there's that saying, necessity is the mother of invention. I think that just having my family and having, you know, these kids that I care a lot about and people I work with who I care a lot about, you just keep figuring it out.
Yeah.
And we always did well enough to not look for a new job. And, you know, I'm tempting the universe to give me a little more breathing room here. But, you know, it's pretty intense now to be 50 and be hitting it quite as hard as I am to make it work. But which isn't a complaint. But the way I figured it out is just like, all right, we got X bills we got to pay. I got these skill sets. How do we try to have fun and make these skills enough money so we can survive, you know, which everybody does, but that's what I've done too.
So 3,000 plus concerts is what it says at the beginning of the comedy special. That's an incredible number.
Yeah. We're coming up on 3,000 is actually going to be February of next year, but
okay.
Okay.
When we had the, when we had the video made for that, we're like, by the time this comedy special's out, we're going to, we jumped the gun by about 90 shows. So
I think you get creative license on that one. You're fine. Close enough.
Full disclosure. But yes, we are getting damn close here. So yeah, it's a lot of shows, and a lot of memories. And yeah, I'm really grateful for it. And I'm also like, yeah, like I said, I'm just physically a little burnt out right now. You know,
yeah, but the Stones are still going, and they're all in their 80s.
Hey, listen, the Stones are not tuning their own guitars, like I said, it's a special. You know, I guarantee you, Mick Jagger isn't driving himself to the gig. That's not happening. So
that's true. I should have said the Who, because actually, in 2 weeks, I'm going to see the Who. So that would have. Nice. But they're calling it quits. So
they're not sharing king size beds with their manager.
No, they're definitely not. They're not forced to eat whatever happens to be open after the gig. I mean, there's a lot of that stuff makes a difference in your longevity. I think, you know. Sure.
I would imagine.
Yeah,
yeah. The Who. Are they 80 years old? They've got to be really close.
They
to
are. Them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Right. Yeah, he's still going. I just saw Roger Daltrey last summer on a solo tour, and he sounds good. He did during Won't Get Fooled Again. He says, I'll sing it, but I'm not going to do the scream. You guys got to do the scream. He's like, I'm just trying to enjoy myself. So he toned it back, but he still sounded great.
It's pretty darn good. I know. Some can do it, you know. I saw Tony Bennett before, a few years back, and he could sing so well. I mean, you know, but that's almost like a, I don't know. It's not everybody's going to be able to do that. And right. I also know, you know, one of the guys I really love is John Prine.
Yeah.
Seeing his concerts after he had had throat cancer and watching him sing with a voice that nobody would have said, wow, what a singer. And yet everything was communicated. And I found that really inspiring, you know, just,
right.
That you work with what you have and you hope that people are coming to see you for the things that you can still offer them. But it must be very difficult if you're known primarily as a singer.
Yeah.
First and foremost, because once that voice goes, how do you keep it going, you know? Yeah.
Are there any songs that you refrain from singing nowadays because of, like, from your way back when?
You know, I'm actually singing much more adventurously now than I was.
Okay.
I wish I had had more courage and maybe whatever training I needed, you know, at a younger age. I don't necessarily hit the notes. I kind of sing like you know, like when Rod Stewart was in the Faces and he would just kind of like approximate, you knew he meant every word, and it didn't really matter if every note was there. And I've tried to really adapt that kind of approach to singing these days, because I don't know that I'll ever be disciplined enough or have the chops to do all the vocal things I want to do, but I'm trying to be a lot braver these days.
Yeah.
Because why not? Why wouldn't you try? And if you but
yeah,
totally agree. And I mean, people say that, you know, I go to so many live shows, but I, you know, yeah, it doesn't may not sound like the record, but that's why I go to live performances, to see if an artist wants to do something a little different. They want to be adventurous. I say, bring it on.
Yeah, you know, I listen to some of the old records now, and I hear, I'm like, why didn't I go up there? I mean, it's the last chorus, like you needed one more gear. And I think the fear of, you know, embarrassing oneself was too high then. And it really is only, I'm 48 now, and I think really the last decade things have been a lot. I kind of started finding who I wanted to be when I grew up this phase,
yeah,
which is probably similar. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure how old you fellas are, but you know,
older than you,
older than you.
What? So tell me this: was it? Did you guys feel much more comfortable in your skin at some point on your journey here that you could pinpoint?
I have certainly, the doing this podcast has definitely helped me. Yeah. I am very much an introvert, and so doing this podcast has opened me up. I find it easier to talk to strangers in public, and I think it's because I've started to do it, and I've started to care less. Like, obviously, we especially early on, we put out some shitty episodes that when people go and look at, we're like, oh my God, you know,
that's what you do.
You had to try, you know?
That's how you learn. How about your dimples?
Yeah, it's helped me. I've always been an extrovert, and I always like to talk, but I think it zeroes me in more focused on the other person now out in my life. Instead of telling someone about me, I'm more talking, asking them questions more now.
Yeah, it's interesting that way. I'm actually a very introverted person too, you know, which doesn't, I can be with people, but at some point the tank runs out, right? You're like,
right.
I can't smile anymore. I can't, you know, and I have that where, you know, the kids will have their friends over and I'm like, I can't even go be like, how was your summer break? Like, I just got nothing left, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone in my family's kind of like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, nothing's wrong as long as I can sit quietly for a little bit and build.
Amen.
And then, you know,
it's the struggle that him and I have because he is the extrovert. So when we're out and about, he is go, go, go. And he'll go until, and I'm like, I get to like midnight and I'm like, okay, I'm done talking to people. I'm going back to the hotel room now. I can't do any more of this.
Sure.
So
yeah.
We were just out with a comedian on Josh Potter, a comedian out of LA. We were out with him on Saturday night, and that was what I went home at like midnight and he stayed until bar closed. So.
Yeah. Was Josh doing a set in the town?
Yeah. He did a weekend and we're in Wisconsin. He was in Janesville, Wisconsin.
Cool. That's
great. Yeah,
I'll have to, that's really cool. That's great. You guys were hanging.
And so we always say this, like, yeah, you know, if you're anywhere in the area, Chicago, Wisconsin, we like to try and come and see our guests. So we'll keep nabs, you know, tabs on your tour.
Please do. Yeah. I mean, cause I got a bunch of music stuff, but I'm getting pretty, After I'm going to do a band run after the current run I'm doing. And then, I'm hoping to maybe pop out and do some small comedy. I'd like to do a comedy tour. I've never done that.
That'd be awesome.
We got a great comedy club in Appleton.
Yeah.
Somebody else just wrote me. What's it called?
Their Skyline.
Skyline. That was it. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's a nice club.
It is. Yeah.
Nice. So
we get a nice collection of comedians coming through every weekend. So
we're
lucky. And then you get, you know, we get Milo Music, which I saw you play on Milo. I saw you play. You posted your set list from Milo Music. You played four sets. I don't think you repeated a song all weekend.
Yeah, that was the goal. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We covered some ground. That was definitely like when I went in, I'm like, I really want to try to do this with no repeats.
Nice. That's very cool. I was at the show when the baby was crying in the upper level, and you mentioned that you'd be lactating if you could. It was, and then I'm like, oh, he's putting on a comedy special. Okay, I get it. You definitely have the wit.
That's good. Well, thank you for finding that funny. It's good. A lot of the music's pretty heavy in theme, and I just want to break it up. You know, I want people to leave feeling like, wow, that was so fun. And I want them to be uplifted, but I don't want to see, I'm, especially when I'm playing solo, I don't want to have to bring the party on the guitar. Like, I feel like people that do that and do it well. And I don't think it's something, I think it's something I'm okay at, but I I'll pepper it in a little, but I really like to have the freedom. I feel like when I'm telling stories that have levity, it frees me up to play loads of sad songs if I'm so inclined, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you figure your set lists each night?
So I don't decide it until the morning of, or sometimes later. And if I'm unfamiliar with the club or the setting, I might wait until I get there to kind of see what the vibe is. And then I'll pretty much ask two questions. One, what song, are there any songs from my catalog that I absolutely need to sing tonight? You know, like if this is my last show I'm ever going to play, is there something I need to say? And what would that be? And then I think about, are there any songs that I have a sense someone else might need to hear tonight? You know?
Yeah, that's nice.
I'll collect a bunch of songs and then I'll kind of look at the set list and the club, put them in order. And because we've kept an archive of all these shows for so many years, they're all on this website, setlist.fm.
Yeah, that's a great website.
Yeah. So I'll pull up like, okay, what did I play last time I'm in Chicago? And I'll look at the last couple Chicago sets and I'll kind of cross-reference it. It's quite a production, man. But I love it because it makes every show different. And that way we're not comparing it going, I liked him more last time. Maybe I won't come again. It's kind of like, if you know, you know. You're not going to always hear every song you want to hear, but you're probably going to hear some things you didn't expect.
Yeah.
And nobody else might hear them for a few nights. And I love that stuff. I was a deadhead. I am a deadhead. You know?
You're talking to two other people that love that too, you know,
We're big Dave Matthews fans, so we've both been to 50-plus Dave shows, so.
Yeah.
The surprise of the set list every night is one of the highlights of the show.
Pearl Jam does the same thing, surprise of the set list.
Oh, it's so fun, right, guys? I mean, you know, you go, and that night you get the song that you've never heard. You just believe it, you know? It's the greatest thing. I want to do that for people in my own way, you know. I those are my favorite bands as well.
And it makes and the nice thing for you, and I know it's not why you do it, but it makes you like more marketable. Like I can go see you night after night. Like I saw Motley Crue their last two or whatever. I saw three shows in our state. They were identical word for word except for the name of the city. And you just get to the point where you're like, okay, this is just bullshit. You don't feel any of this. So
Yeah, I know. And you know, I saw Crew the tour before that. They were with Def Leppard. I don't know if that's who they were with. Def Leppard was so impressive in terms of like, they just seem like they keep working on the songs and arranging them. And I love Motley Crue, but I wouldn't go see him again.
Yeah.
But there it is. I think that's kind of consensus.
Well, and I've said it and done. I put in my last tour. I cried the last time they played Home Sweet Home. I'm not coming back for the money grabs anymore. You said you were done. I'm done.
Yeah, totally.
So
I know. Anyway. I know. I mean, I'm with you.
So you were at Mile of Music with the Sixers early on, weren't you, like 2014?
So Sixers were, at that point, had just disbanded.
Okay.
We went on hiatus the end of 2012. Mm. I did a record, a solo record that featured all of them.
Okay.
And I was playing that music when it was there. But I was at, is it Lewiston? Is that the name of the college?
Lawrence. Yep.
The Sixers played at Lawrence in 2007, 2008.
Oh, wow.
That was my return to Appleton. And the mayor, Jason, is Jason his name? Tim. Jason, Tim.
I don't know.
Mayor for like 20 years.
I think the longstanding mayor, I think his name was Tim.
Okay. So Tim actually gave us an official decree of it's Stephen Kellogg and the Sixers Day when we played at Lawrence.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was very cool. Like, so we had this, I had this Appleton connection, and then I can't remember if I was with a band of some kind when I played at Mile of Music the first time. I may have been, but honestly, the first band I took out after the Sixers broke up just wasn't up to snuff. And it set me back a lot because I think people came out and were like, oh, this guy's probably, you know, I'm not going to like this as much as what he had been doing. And it took me a while to repair that.
Wow.
And so a lot of folks in the last couple of years have started to come out again and are like, "Whoa, wow, this is actually good." It's one step forward, two back, and then you climb back up to where you need to be. And that's also what it's been about for me. Just like you make mistakes along the way and then you have to kind of power through them. But I do think, you know, I'm having as much fun on stage as I've ever had, for sure, these days.
Yeah, that looked very true when I saw you, for sure, in Appleton.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear that.
So when did that start, that you just all of a sudden really enjoyed it more than ever before?
You know, I think it started, in a way, after that rough kind of patch. My band of my best friends breaks up after 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's not my call to make, you know. People still to this day, why don't you guys get back together? Sure. You know, why don't you get back together with your ex-wife? She doesn't anymore. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, it's not like I'm sitting around going, I'm never playing with those guys again. It's not like that, you know?
Right.
It's just, so then you kind of have this moment where you're like, wow, this might kind of fall apart. Like, that tour wasn't great. People weren't coming out a lot. And you realize that's not going to kill you, you know? And that's when you start going on stage more liberated, you know? You're like, okay, I'm just going to go try to be enough for whoever's here and hope that this is okay, you know?
Yeah.
And that probably started about 10 years ago. And since then, 9 times out of 10.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Probably more. I have an incredible show, you know.
Yeah.
So when I say I'm getting tired, I'm tired of the grinding and the traveling and not always having enough critical mass at the in the seats and all those things. The marketing, the constant need to, now we got to be our own marketing people all day long. I don't want to be on TikTok. I don't want to be on Instagram Reels talking to my phone. It feels a little bit like a waste of life, you know?
And yep. Yeah,
it's part of what we got to do, but I'm like trying to make my peace with that. So the last 10 years, the shows have become these transcendent affairs where I don't just feel like I'm entertaining. I feel like my life and the lives of some of the people in there intertwined and changed, hopefully for the better, on a fairly regular basis. What a gift of a job, you know, what a beautiful gift of a job. And so it's become like, how long can I keep it going? And can we catch enough breaks here and there? And, you know, I have been catching some lately, the records and the special, these are good things. And you know, the wind is at my back. But
I would imagine playing Appleton had helped you or made you feel uplifted, because that especially the 513, the venue I saw you at, every artist that plays there, I've noticed, gets a standing ovation. People are just so into it, so thankful for it. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think Appleton in general is a unicorn. I mean, it's just... I talked to so many musicians who felt this way. You to be appreciated for your craft and your work, and people stopping you on the street just to say thanks for coming. I mean, what a difference from going to St. Louis the week before and having a sold out show where the where nobody, when we come in, says hello. It's, the green room's a mess. You're just like, you're like, what more can I do? We sold out your room on a Monday night, and nobody seems to even be friendly. I'm not talking about a ticker tape parade. And then you, and it kind of breaks your spirit, to be perfectly honest. Then you get to Appleton, and you're like, okay, this is why we do this job, you know, because we get to mean something in people's lives, you know.
That's so cool to hear.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I mean, we're so proud. It's one of the the most proud things we are about our little town. You know, that music festival is just such an incredible thing.
From what I can tell, and everything, right? I mean, you got that farmer's market was gorgeous, and restaurants, the sushi place was so good. I heard the ramen place was great. I didn't get there.
It is.
Yeah.
I went into Lombardi's and had myself after the fourth show. My tour manager and I went out and got, you know,
looks like you had was that where you had the place to yourself?
Yes. I could not believe it. Where everybody was, anybody not love a steakhouse as much as me, or were they just seeing music? I don't know, but
I'm guessing everybody was too drunk by that point to go to the steakhouse, so
or afford it.
You're right.
I know that was, you know, but after four shows in 2 days, I was like, let's go eat our feelings.
Awesome. And it is good. I was there probably at the beginning of the year, and it was, I was telling you, I think that I prefer that
steak. This weekend.
Yeah.
It's not you can't go there every night, but once in a while, it's pretty nice.
So I'm guessing you don't know the answer to this, but are any chance you know if you're going to be at Mile next year?
I don't know, but I will. Yeah. I will go if I'm invited.
All right.
As long as it can work. I had so much fun. I would love to come back and see if I could play four different shows from last year, you know?
Yeah, well, I'd love it.
Absolutely.
I'll be able to catch you then. I unfortunately didn't get to catch you, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'd love it.
That's why I brought up about before. We got to watch your tour dates, because if you come around close, we'd definitely buzz over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, please do. You know, we're trying to get our old school email newsletter to going again.
Okay.
I figure if we have that and can put that out once a month, I just think you can rely on it so much more than Facebook and Instagram, which are like, I don't even know how they work. I don't really get it, you know?
Yeah. The nice thing about an email list is you don't have to worry about the algorithm. You're sending it to people who want it. They want it. So
yeah,
well, you have a great fan page on Instagram. I know they contacted me. But I had posted a story, live video you performing. They had asked me if they could put it up. So I made sure to tell them you were coming on the podcast, and they were all about promoting it. And so,
oh, terrific. That's great.
Yeah. So really good page.
Yeah. We'll make sure they know about it too and pump it out when we share this.
I'm curious, when you were doing the tour, were you doing music and stand up? And then you kind of stripped it down to do the stand up special?
Yeah, I had been starting to do, a friend of mine runs a comedy club in Connecticut where I'm from, and he was at one of my shows during COVID where we didn't have audiences, but I said, you can come down if you want to come down and watch, we're taping tonight. And he came down and he was like, you got to come do some stand-up when stuff reopens. So I was like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
Just kept hitting me with concrete dates. So finally I did it in May of 2023. I did my first 15 minutes, you know, at a cigar bar and did some jokes. And I was like, this is fun. So I started doing it like once a month, and then thought, I've done so many tours, why don't I do a tour where I drop in 20, 25 minutes of stand up in the middle? And I did that. And then one night in Boulder, I just got rolling, and next thing I knew, I'd done like 45 minutes.
Okay.
Fun.
And I was like, wow, if I got 45 minutes, what's another 15? Why don't I try to do a special? And we tried to find somebody to tape it, you know, to help finance it, and didn't have luck. And then I went to my wife and said, what do you think about us selling a few things that we got in the portfolio here and me taping a special? And she is a wonderful person. And maybe against all sound judgment, she said, let's do it. And so we decided we were going to film one. And then what I did on the tour to warm up for it was I started doing longer and longer and longer stretches.
Okay.
of comedy. And the crazy thing is about the special, and I wish I could do this again, I only did the whole set one time before the time that we taped.
No shit. Wow.
Okay.
And I wish I, because what happened was that was the one we taped, and then we taped the next one. So that was my second and third tries respectively. And we got a pretty good version of it.
Right.
I did a few more after that that were not being filmed, just where I just did stand up. And it got so much smoother with each, you know, it just got funnier. You realize things you were rushing or not finishing a joke correct. Yeah. So it did get better.
Work it out, right.
But we learned that now, and we'll, you know, if I get to do it again or when I get to do it again, we'll do it a little differently.
Now, when your wife said yes to doing that, did she know you were going to tell the whole world that she has the hots for Rob Thomas?
I don't think she necessarily knew, but she's been with me long enough, my friend, that she knows, you know. It was really funny because when I did this whole special in Florida, not filming it, and a little old lady comes up to my wife who happened to be at that show after, and she said, if I were you, I'd start calling him your first husband.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, no, she's, you know, she's also interested in us supporting our kids. So she's not opposed to things that are funny, even if they involve her. But yeah.
Well, and I was going to ask, because you talked about your father-in-law coming to some things, and you're like, you know, as much as I talk about your daughter, so how are those, has he ever confronted you on anything, but just kind of gave you a look?
No, I mean, when in the early days, and I kind of allude to this in the special, he was more critical. I don't know. He was just more like, you really shouldn't swear and you shouldn't. I had more of an opinion,
okay.
And take it as a good sign that for the last 15 or so years, he just has a good time. He comes out, and last year he actually came to 7 or 8 shows, which is more than anybody else in my family. and it is, you know, sometimes he wants to ride in the van with us, and I'm like, okay, you know.
Nice.
He's 81 years old, you know.
Wow. I wish I'm doing that at 81.
You'll be doing that at 81. If anybody I know will be doing that at 81, it's you.
He is a freaking tank. He's got a good sense of humor, which I give him credit for. He can laugh at himself, and you know, yeah, and that's all you, like I told my kids too. We did have a family meeting before this went down, and I just said, look, you know, I'm going to be telling, there's no way for me to tell my story without you guys in it.
Right.
So I'm going to be talking about our life, but you're never the butt of the joke. And if you are, or feel like you are, probably I haven't told the joke correctly. You know, I'm really the butt of the joke in all these things. Hey, look at me, Clark Griswold over here. You know, it's like, and so, that said, there are, you know, I think there's times when my kids, especially maybe my parents, you know, when they might not love if I say something or whatever. But I mean, I have told everybody, look, I'm just telling my story as I see fit. You can disagree. You can, if you're really worried about something, come and talk to me about it. You know, hopefully you don't ever see these bits before they get worked out, because they do come out wrong occasionally.
That's right. Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
It's so upsetting to always have a camera trained on you at all times, because if you're going to take any chances in this world, you're going to say some shit that is just correct.
Yeah.
You know, it comes out wrong. And then everybody goes, look at him. He's an asshole. You know, and you're like, I'm not. I'm a guy who knows there's something funny about this. He just hasn't figured out what it is yet. You know,
just haven't figured out the proper placement of the words to make it sound right. Yeah,
exactly. You know,
which takes time.
It does.
And as you alluded to, it takes some, you know, practice, and practice makes perfect. Right.
Bit of trial and error, you know.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, like, comedians, I mean, they work their special for like a year before they go on stage and tell, you know, record the special. So to go out there and do it is as quickly as you did. I mean, obviously, you know, that's quick.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working the bits and pieces. I just wish I'd put it all together and try it more times. But I will next time. I mean, you live and you learn, like you guys were saying about your podcast. You know,
our shitty podcast at the beginning.
Yeah. Beginning, yeah.
We
We're almost 250 episodes in now, and we've talked to more people that we never thought we were ever going to have any opportunity to talk to when we started this thing.
So great, guys. Congratulations on that. So many people say, oh, I would do this if I only had the time. You guys are doing it. You're making it happen, you know?
Yeah. And you're right. Not this one. This one, I think we got overshadowed when you said this one's not the shitty one. Not this one.
This is a good one.
So one of my favorite lines on your new album is when you're on stage with your daughters and Counting Crows, and you say, if you want to know what a dream looks like when it comes true, this is it.
Yeah.
So how did that all come to be? I think from what your daughters were singing with you on stage.
Yeah. They're singing the harmonies on that.
How amazing is that?
Yeah. It was really great. I listened to Counting Crows growing up.
Huge Counting Crows fans, by the way. We love them.
They're great too. And they mix it up and they play their music is each show different. And the amount of people who don't know we're friendly and go, oh yeah, I saw that guy and he was drunk and he didn't sing Mr. Jones like it. And I'm like, first of all, he wasn't drunk. I've seen him play a gazillion shows. I've never seen him play with even a single drink inside him. So he wasn't drunk. And second of all, you might not be the right person for their live experience, and that's okay. But it doesn't mean they suck, you know.
Nope.
Go ahead.
I was saying before, that's why the people that appreciate it, Crows are one of them. He sings songs differently, and he improvises this and that, and makes it an experience. So
totally, it's I get chills, you know, at the shows. Even if one show's not your favorite, you're going to have a moment.
Yes.
At bands like you guys were saying, DMB, Counting Crows, Pearl Jam, The Dead, you know, these bands are going to give you at least one moment that is going to make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. And that's why you go, you know.
Right.
And so Counting Crows, I had met them a few times. And I had told them basically what I wanted to tell, you know, it was great to meet you. You know, one day we get on a plane. I'm flying out to play at Sundance. And my wife said, Adam Duritz is on this plane. I said, great. And that was it. And she said, are you going to say hi? And I said, I don't think so, because I think we've met a few times. And he doesn't, you know, there's no occasion for us to say more here.
Sure.
And so she goes off to get our oversized luggage, something like that. And I'm sitting at the baggage carousel and it's just going around and around until it's nobody left except me and Adam. And I'm like, well, this is just awkward not to say something. So I said, hey, Adam, it's Stephen Kellogg. You know, we've met a couple of times. I love the work you put in the world. Thank you for that, you know? And he said, oh yeah, Stephen. This time he remembered me more than he had previously. So we're chatting. We had a great chat. And then I saw Kirsten across the way, my wife. And so I was like, all right, see you later. Walked over to her. And as I'm walking up, she's like, Stephen, Adam Duritz is jogging across the terminal to you. She's like, what is it? And Adam comes up and he hands me his number. He goes, we should watch a movie sometime or something. And she's like, what the hell happened to I'm not going to say hello.
I would have went with I didn't. I didn't say hello. I don't know what's happening right now.
It was unbelievable. And that was in 2017, I think. And so we did become friends. He also lives in New England. And we started watching movies and hanging out a little bit.
Wow.
And then during COVID, we played. I'm making this long, but it seems like you guys are interested in this.
Absolutely.
100%.
So during COVID, Counting Crows aren't playing, and I'm talking to Adam on the phone, catching up one day, and he said, you know, why don't we go do like a song swap? We'll do a virtual. And so I said, great. And you can watch this on YouTube. It's like a hour concert where they play, you know, Long December, and then I play Fourth Street Moon, and then they play.
Wow.
You know, and. His management, I don't think, was thrilled that the one virtual show they're doing during COVID is with a relatively obscure Americana songwriter that they were. But Adam does what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So we did this thing. And during that, my daughters got up and sang my song, Almost Woke You Up. And Adam said, wow, I really love that song. And you guys really sound good. And so then cut 2 years forward from there, 2022. I don't have many gigs for the summer. And I go in and pull my family down. And I said, look, I've been away every summer for as long as we can remember. Dad's going to be home all summer. This is going to be awesome. Not 1 hour later, I get a text from Adam that said, do you want to open the summer dates? Like, all right, family, new plan. I'm going. So I'm out on the road playing Crow's dates in 2022. And the girl, and I did the first half solo and the second half with the band. And when the band came out, I said to my daughters, why don't you come out and play the shows with us? It'll be really fun. And Adam called me up the first night that they were there. I had been singing, hanging around with the Counting Crows. And he said, I want to do Almost Woke You Up, which is my song in mm-hmm. our Counting Crows set. And I'd love, we'll back you up. And let's have your daughter sing as well. And
Jesus.
Wow.
So we did it. We did it every night. And the shows were being recorded, but only for whatever reason, only one of the shows we recorded came out. Something with the computer going bad. So we had that one show, and that line that started this whole long, long, hopefully not too long story.
No.
And you. Was me walking on stage, just feeling like, wow, if I had given up before 24, if I gave up at 24 years in, this doesn't happen. You know, right. I don't stand between my two oldest daughters and one of my absolute all-time favorite bands and sing my song that I wrote by myself to, you know, that one was probably, you know, 15,000 people, but we've done it. We did it this past September in front of 50,000 people, you know. So, you know, I don't get money for that. I don't, it's not like I get rich, but what I get is the most incredible memory and just like, thank God I never gave up, you know.
You're giving me goosebumps.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, I have a little tear. This is, yeah. Love your story.
Yeah. Good, guys. Well, it's fun to tell it, you know?
Wow. So,
and thank you for not giving up or stopping after 24 years.
It's such a beautiful album, and so many of the songs are so touching, and The Waitress for one of them, and obviously big part of the comedy special. But I also, are we naming names on Kiss the Ring? Who are we?
No, I'm just singing about narcissism, and if the shoe fits, you know, you can tie it to whoever you want to tie it to. But
there's a few people I could send it to for sure.
I mean, all the songs to some degree are an amalgam, right? So, like, Ghosted isn't one person; it's a few people, you know. Sure. And I'm never trying to do the positively Fourth Street move where it's just a takedown of somebody I'm mad at. I feel like it's karmically a little suspect to use music in that way of just like, you know, I don't want drama and fights with people. That said, you know, there are people who have hurt me and who hurt my soul that they exist in the world and the way they operate. And I feel like if you're going to do that, and I'm going to be inspired to write a lyric that is inspired by something you did, then that's just the deal. And if you can write me, you know, my daughter asked me one day, how would you feel if you heard yourself and stuff that we wrote? And I said, I'd be okay with it. I want you guys to express yourself as you see fit. I might disagree, you know, if I feel like I have recognized myself in songs that have been written, not always favorably. And I can disagree, but I think creative people got to create, and I would never tell somebody not to. So Kiss the Ring's narcissism and Ghosted is people being ghosted. And there's certainly people who were the inspiration for a lot of these lines, but nothing's ever really one person and me.
Sure. Gotcha.
And you know what I mean?
You're not writing diss tracks like Eminem. And
I was thinking that too, right? Rappers, yeah. They like the names.
Yeah, they're brave in that sense, but they also can probably handle the drama. I'd have no interest in... I'm much too sensitive a human to live in a world where, you know...
You seem like it. You do.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to have people writing, you know, shit. Well, there's one guy who's always on my Instagram talking about my appearance. And I know this guy like means well, but it is so I can't get it out of my head sometimes. And I just don't want to see it. I don't want to know. I'm like, just ugh.
Yeah. But thinking of back to songwriting, when you were telling us our story with Adam and just the way you described being at the airport in the luggage carousel, I'm going, that could be a song. So, you know, that could be like an introduction to a song or some point. I'm not telling you what to do by any means, but boy, that I was like envisioning a song from you on that.
Well, you know, I wrote a song. The first time I really got to hang around Adam was in 2002. And I went to see Counting Crows. I was a few years out of college and he hung out and talked to students and people who wanted to hang around for like an hour or so.
Oh, well.
I ran home and got my CD. Then and I gave it to him, and I don't know if he ever heard it, but I went home that night and I wrote a song called Hanging with Adam.
Really?
And I wanted to play that for him when we became friends years later, but I went back and it was such a lousy song that I just told him, this song exists, but you know, he may get his song yet, you know.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was fun to see that. With your daughters, are they into music now? I mean, like play instruments and songwriting themselves?
Yeah. My oldest Sophia is, she has a band called Silkworm that just came out in Maryland, and they're, I don't think they've released it to Spotify yet, but I was lucky enough to be in the studio while they recorded their first EP this summer. And
fun.
So they're kind of like, sort of like jammy, bluesy. They remind me of that artist Bia Badoobi a bit. But
yeah.
So she does that and occasionally plays with me on piano or singing. My daughter Adeline is a fabulous singer. And then my other daughters, Noelle and Greta, both sing and play piano and have been up on stage with me. They, I don't push it, and right. I'm kind of, I invite them a lot, and they used to always all say yes, and now they don't as much. So I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I think the important thing is that music stay fun for them, you know?
Right.
It's a hard job to make a living at. And if you're going to do it, you got to feel that you have no option because
yeah.
You know, you don't want to do this thing half-heartedly at all. So I don't push it at all, but they are, if any one of them could do this, if they wanted to, you know.
So you just mentioned jobs, harder job. And I already know the answer as a girl dad, but musician, comedian, or dad of four daughters.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have daughters as well?
I only have one. He's got two.
I've got two. So.
Good for us, guys. Let's guess, huh?
Yeah, girls, so what is the one that started the band's age and what's your range there?
Sophia's 20 and then Adeline is 18. Noelle is almost 14 or is 14. Is she 14?
We can edit this in post for if you need me to. Just let me know.
She is 14. God. And then my daughter Greta will be 13 in a few weeks. So
okay,
that's our
group. Happy birthday to her. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Four girls between 13 and 20. Oh my God.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's a lot. It's a beautiful thing to raise daughters. It really is, yeah. And they do as in my case become, you know, great friends of mine, and I just love being around them. Along with my son as well. I just love their presence. But getting there, yeah, there's going to be rough times, as you know. There just is.
Yeah, there's times where I feel like, I don't know, where I'm wondering if anybody likes me here. I feel But I know they do, you know, it's just you. My brother-in-law's got his sons and they always want to play games and, you know, yeah. palling around. And I'm like, you guys want to play some cornhole? And they're like, all right, Dad, I guess, you know. Right. So, but
with girls, you just have to adapt to what their interests are. That's what I learned early. And I just, that's what I did.
That's really? Good. That's what I got
to
do?
You got to adapt to their interests. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I need it as a reminder. That is really good advice.
Yeah, yeah, I just watched A-Pop Demon Hunters, the number one movie on Netflix. So I'm adapting.
Points.
You're doing it. I'm doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a great movie when you're a 51-year-old male. I'm going to tell you that right now. But
well, you'll log horrible hours, but you're with them. There you go.
So we're going to let you get going. We know you got to get to your watch party, but tell everybody where to find you, what's coming up next, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The best place would be stephenkellogg.com, and it's spelled stephenkellogg.com. That's kind of the epicenter for things, but we've also got the Facebook and Instagram. And the comedy special is called Maybe This Will Work. And it's out on disruptorcomedy.com, which is a YouTube channel. But as of by the time most of you hear this, it should be out on Apple TV and Amazon Prime as well. So that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That'd be great.
Coming up later this week. And then the new album, To You Old Friend, an album of songs about friendship as seen from a bunch of different angles. That can be found on, you know, Spotify and Apple Music. And then we have something called the Kellogg Family Store,
yeah,
which is our website where we sell the vinyl and good old-fashioned CDs and stuff like that that has the lyrics and the liner notes and all that.
Well,
which is what I really love.
I was going to say, you'll be sending some vinyl to Neenah, Wisconsin this week, I'm sure. So
I'd love that, man. I would love it.
We love the vinyl.
Girls, the older girls have the Shopify app on their phones, so they'll actually say like, Dad, is everything okay? Like, we haven't had an order in a couple days or something. I'm like, don't worry about it. Dad's got it. And it's a real family business.
Well, that's cool. We're going to touch on that because it seems like a good part of your comedy special. Yeah. Just a little bit about, but I just want to say one more time, it was a pleasure watching the comedy special. Just you have a nice presence, and the storytelling were very, very funny. And I recommend it to anybody, and talking to you too was a pleasure.
Likewise, guys.
And go get the album because it's great. I love that you put it out the way you did, because we're old guys who, I wanted to say this earlier, the album goes together. Like it needs to be together. Listen to it at one time.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. No, I love you guys, the dimples and the beard. I'm glad to be on your podcast.
Well, we appreciate it. I can't, another one of these guests that I'm going to pinch myself, and I can't believe you're sitting next to us, or virtually sitting next to us. So thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure, guys. Have a great night. Okay.
All right. You as well.
Too. You as well.
See you soon.
Night. Night. Night.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously though, get your asses out of here.
Any favorite memories of the first season of Nevermind the Music?
I do. I love the time that we realized that I have perfect pitch.
You mean when we realized you don't have perfect pitch?
I don't know, dude. I'd love to see you prove me wrong.
I've got a piano right there.
This is the second season of Nevermind the Music,
where one psychologist finds out she's really good at music.
And one songwriter finds out he's really good at cognitive biases.
This season, we talk music and the mind, one iconic song at a time.
From the key changes in Metallica
to the neurotransmitters in Mariah.
And can we finally talk about Taylor?
They're just going to have to listen to Nevermind the Music
wherever you get your podcasts.